Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There's a house in the quiet suburbs of Colorado, a house that looks like any other on the block. A manicured lawn, a two-car garage, and a family looking to make a fresh start. But what happens when something unseen doesn't want to let that happen? When the walls of a home, or perhaps the ground beneath it, hold secrets too dark to ignore? Tonight we step into the lives of AJ, Jasper, and a narrator whose week-long visit turned into an encounter they'll never forget. A strange blue stone, an object of mystery and obsession, seems to tether an otherworldly presence to their lives. And as shadows creep closer, as voices not their own echo through the halls, the boundary between the explainable and the supernatural begins to blur. Is this a haunting bound to the land, or is it something far more sinister? Isolated events soon form a chilling pattern, leaving our narrator and perhaps you wondering, was it ever just a stone? Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, I never thought I'd be writing to you about something like this, but after everything I've seen and felt, I can't keep this to myself anymore. To understand this story, you need to know a little about the people involved. There's me, of course, but then there's AJ, my best friend. We've been through a lot together, and then there's Jasper, AJ's old fiancé. The three of us were thick as thieves for a while, though Jasper always had this energy about him. Something that made you wonder if he wasn't walking on a razor-thin edge between curiosity and danger. The story starts a little over a year ago when AJ and his family still lived in their house in Colorado. It wasn't the house, though, at least not entirely. I believe it was the land that held something dark, something that had been there long before they moved in. AJ's family didn't talk much about it, but when he was younger, he'd experimented with things best left alone. He told me that back then he'd feel watched in his own home. There were times when the air smelled like sulfur and when he couldn't shake the feeling that something was standing just out of sight. Years later, when the house got too crowded, AJ set up a bedroom in the garage. That's when things started to escalate. He'd hear footsteps in the room above when no one was home, see shadowy figures darting out of the corner of his eye, and have dreams that left him shaken. These weren't ordinary nightmares, though. They felt like something or someone was trying to reach him through his sleep. When AJ and Jasper started living together, things went from strange to terrifying. That's when the blue stone came back into the picture. Jasper had found it years ago, a small, unassuming thing, with a faint, unnatural glow. He always said there was something off about it, but he couldn't let it go. I remember once trying to take it from him just to see what would happen. He hadn't even noticed me slip it into my pocket, but the moment I did, he turned to me with this eerie, almost knowing look. "Where's the stone?" he asked. His voice wasn't angry, but it was sharp, like he needed it back. That was years ago. I didn't think much of it until the week I went to visit them in Colorado. By then, Jasper swore he'd left the stone behind during a move, but somehow it had followed him. He couldn't explain it, and neither could AJ. I remember waking up one morning and finding Jasper staring out the window. "It's here," he said, almost in a whisper. I asked him what he meant, and he told me about the shadow. He described it as a swirling black mass hanging just outside the glass. He said it felt like it was waiting for something, an invitation to come inside. That wasn't the first time it had appeared. Jasper said it had started months ago, and worse, it had begun imitating my voice. He claimed he'd hear me calling for him when I wasn't even in the house. It sent chills down my spine, but I tried to laugh it off. I told him he was imagining things. But then the week went on, and I couldn't ignore the things I saw and felt. The garage became the epicenter of the activity. AJ, who was sensitive to energy, felt it first. The cold, the heaviness in the air. Jasper, though, was the one who saw the shadow figures most clearly. At night, he'd grow agitated for no reason, snapping at us over nothing. It was like the house was getting to him, pulling him under. One night, we decided to confront whatever it was. AJ brought out a camera, and we sat in the garage, surrounded by salt. He told us not to step outside the circle, but Jasper didn't listen. He crossed the line once or twice, saying it was no big deal. That's when the banging started. Loud, sharp sounds echoed from the corners of the garage. Sometimes they came from above, other times from outside. The camera flickered, going black for seconds at a time, even though it had never malfunctioned before. Jasper swore he saw the shadow standing between us, and when I tried to take pictures of the spot, every single image came out distorted. Green lines, static, nothing else. We left the garage in a hurry, but Jasper said it followed us. He swore he could hear footsteps right behind him, though AJ and I didn't hear anything. Still, I couldn't shake the feeling that we weren't alone. The night after I left, Jasper told me he threw the stone into the neighbor's yard. For a moment, I thought that was the end of it. But a few days later, he called me in a panic and the stone was back. I didn't believe him at first. How could it be? But AJ confirmed it, swore up and down that Jasper had thrown it out. Somehow, it had returned to its original spot as if it had never been gone at all. After the stone came back, everything escalated. Jasper wasn't himself anymore. He would sit for hours, staring at the stone, muttering that he needed to find a way to get rid of it. But every time he tried, it returned, almost like it was tied to him. AJ, who had always been the level-headed one, started to lose his composure, too. The house didn't feel like a home anymore. It felt like a trap. One night, something happened that none of us can explain. Jasper was alone in the house while AJ and I were out getting supplies to cleanse the garage. When we came back, we found him in the living room, pale as a sheet, staring at the front door. "It was Dad," he said. His voice was shaking. "What are you talking about?" AJ asked. Jasper didn't look at us. "Your dad, I saw him. He was walking through the house like he used to, right into the kitchen. He even looked at me, but..." He trailed off, his hands trembling. AJ froze. His father had passed away in that house years ago. At first, he wanted to believe it was some kind of visitation, a chance to connect with his dad one last time. But when Jasper described the look in his eyes, AJ knew it wasn't his father. He looked at me, but there was nothing there. No recognition, no feeling, just emptiness. After that, AJ refused to sleep in the house alone. He moved a mattress into the garage, thinking maybe the activity would lessen if he stayed where the energy seemed most concentrated. But it only made things worse. The footsteps above the garage grew louder, like someone was pacing back and forth, and the shadow figures started appearing in the corners of his vision. At first, they were small, quick movements, just enough to make you second-guess yourself. But soon, they were unmistakable. Tall, dark shapes that seemed to lean closer the longer you stared at them. By this point, I was too scared to go back, but AJ kept me updated. He told me that one night, as he was lying in bed in the garage, he heard a whisper. It wasn't words exactly, but a low, guttural sound, like something trying to speak but failing. Then the mattress shifted. AJ said it felt like someone sat down at the edge of the bed, even though no one was there. He bolted out of the garage and spent the rest of the night in his car. But it wasn't just the house anymore. It was the land. AJ started noticing strange markings in the dirt around the property, small, spiraling patterns that seemed burned into the ground. The plants near the garage began to wither no matter how much water they got. Even the birds stopped coming around, leaving the yard eerily silent. Then there was the night I got the photo. AJ had been trying to clean the garage when he found the stone again. He sent me a picture, and I'll never forget what I saw. The stone was sitting on the floor, but it wasn't alone. Around it was a faint, dark outline, almost like a shadow, but there was no light source to cast it. "It's waiting," AJ wrote in the text. That was the last message I got from him before things came to a head. A week later, AJ called me in the middle of the night. His voice was frantic. He told me that Jasper had disappeared. He'd gone to bed in the garage as usual, but in the morning, he was gone. His car was still in the driveway, his phone on the kitchen counter, but Jasper was nowhere to be found. AJ reported him missing, but there was nothing anyone could do. It was like he'd vanished into thin air. The house was sold shortly after, and AJ moved to another state. We still talk sometimes, but he refuses to bring up the stone or the house. I don't blame him. As for me, I can't stop wondering, was the stone tied to jasper? Or was it tied to the land? And whatever it was, did it finally get what it wanted? Thank you for listening, Tony. I hope sharing this story helps me finally let it go. Sincerely, a friend in Colorado. Well, what do we make of this one, folks? Accursed stone, shadow figures, and a house that seemed to act as a doorway to something other. There's no denying that the details in this story are unsettling, but they also leave us with more questions than answers. From a psychological perspective, it's possible that the events described were influenced by the collective stress of those involved. The power of suggestion, combined with the tension of unexplained sounds, smells, and shadows, could amplify perceptions and even create a shared delusion. Jasper's growing obsession with the bluestone might have been the spark and the mounting fear the fuel. But then there are the things that defy easy explanation. The stone reappearing after being discarded. The photographic distortions and the shadowy outlines caught on camera. And, of course, Jasper's sudden disappearance. If we consider the paranormal possibilities, could the stone have been an anchor for something far more malevolent? Perhaps an entity tied to the land used it to manipulate and isolate its victims. There's also the mimicry, the voices, the appearance of AJ's father. Many believe that when entities take on familiar forms, they're not just playing tricks, but attempting to erode trust, to confuse and disarm. Was that what this entity was after? And what of the land itself? Could it hold a history that predates the house, something buried deep and long forgotten? Stories like this remind us that the past has a way of lingering, sometimes in ways we can't see or fully understand. Here's the thought I'll leave you with. If the bluestone was more than just an object, what might it represent? Was it a magnet for the paranormal or something far darker? A choice Jasper unknowingly made that bound him to whatever lies beyond. Whatever the truth, it's clear this story leaves an indelible mark, much like the spirals in the dirt around that haunted property. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, not every mystery wants to be solved.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.